In Hebrews 9:27, we find, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." It's so good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone able to be out. It's another beautiful day. We couldn't ask for a nicer day outside, but it's especially nice because it's the first day of the week. And we've all come together to remember that great sacrifice that was made for us on the cross. I want to talk this morning about the judgment. But after this, the judgment. Years ago, I would hear sermons on the judgment quite regularly. I'd hear sermons on a lot of different topics quite regularly. We've gotten away from that, and it seems like so many places have just gone to middle of the road teaching and preaching and miss and leave out so much of what's in the Bible. And there's a danger in that. And when we don't talk about sin and we don't talk about hell and we don't talk about the judgment, we don't change our life. Because why should we change? It's out of sight, out of mind. So I want us to consider, this is just some very basics about the judgment. First thing, we need to consider the certainty of it. Paul stood in the midst of Mar Hills in Athens, and he preached to those philosophers that were there. He told them, "And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." So Paul says, God has winked at things in the past, but he's not going to now. And he commands everywhere that men repent. And he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Who is that he? You go on down. By that man whom he hath ordained. Who is that man that he hath ordained? You keep reading, in that he raised him from the dead. So God is going to judge man in that day by the man that he raised from the dead. And who is that man that he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus the Christ. So God has appointed this judgment day. It is coming, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Just as sure as we are going to die, unless Christ comes back first, just as sure as we are going to die, we are going to be judged. God made his appointment, and God keeps his appointments. Now, one of the things that frustrates me is when I make an appointment with somebody for this or that, for whatever reason, and then they forget to keep the appointment. I have my calendar cleared so I can meet this person here, or I'm expecting them to show up, and then they don't keep their appointment. The good and bad is we don't have to worry about that with God. He is not going to miss this appointment, and we are not going to miss this appointment. So we've learned that he's going to judge the world in righteousness, and that everyone shall be judged. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now get this image in our minds. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, his holy angels with him, and he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And then all the nations are going to be gathered together. All the way back from the very beginning of time. And then there's going to be the separation that takes place. John 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We see here again, as we were talking about in class this morning, when Jesus spoke to that 12-year-old girl that was dead, and she heard his voice, and immediately she arose. Do not marvel, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Jesus isn't going to miss anybody. He's not going to leave anybody behind. We are all going to hear that voice if we are dead. We are going to come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. So we see in this judgment, all are going to be judged. And we will either receive one of two rewards, the resurrection of life or resurrection of damnation. Well, that brings up a question, though. What is going to be the standard that we're going to be judged by? And we'll see that there's a couple of different things we need to pay attention to. We're going to be judged for the things that we did while we were in the body. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's a lot of things. You think about what we do each day, what we do, what we say, what we look at, where we go, what we talk about, what we don't do, what we don't read, where we don't go. He's going to judge everything of the things that we did while we were in the body. The secret things will be judged in that great day. The day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We can hide things from one another while we're here in this life, in this world. But friends, everything is going to be open before God, and nothing is going to be hidden. Nothing is going to be a secret. We might be able to cover up some of the things from the eyes of men, but we cannot cover them up from the eyes of the Lord. Secret things will be made manifest at the judgment bar of Christ, and many things that would not bear the light of open day here will be brought forth at the judgment. And you might see some trials on TV, some courtrooms shown on there, and you think it's going one way, and then all of a sudden they bring out this evidence of something else that was done. Friends, God is going to bring out everything that we did, and that should put some fear in us. That should put some fear in me, and it should put some fear in you. Everything that we did, that's going to be the standard we're judged by. We're also going to be judged by our words. We may say things here that we would not say if we were knew we were going to be in eternity a few minutes from now, within the next hour. Too many times we were just too careless with our words. Things that we say about people, maybe it's gossip, maybe it's something we're going to do, or I'm going to take care of this or do that, or I'm going to go here. Or our words. We're going to be judged by our words. We say many things. And in Matthew 12, but I say to you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And you might be thinking, if that's the case, maybe we shouldn't talk so much. Well, Solomon touched on that subject a long time ago. Is it any wonder that the wise man Solomon said, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of thy words are few"? Sometimes the more you say, the more you get into trouble. "If any man offend not, and a fool will swallow up himself, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words." And you see, some people just talk. I say babble. A lot of people babble, like they think that nobody's going to remember what they said, or what their words have no bearing on things. We need to understand that we are going to be judged by every word that we say, and choose our words carefully and be careful of what we say. When we talk about words in James chapter 3, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." There's going to be some teachers that get into trouble on the day of judgment because they are deviating from the word of God, or they are substituting their own word for the word of God. "Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you're going to receive a stricter judgment." Somebody will say, "Well, then I just won't be a teacher." That's the wrong attitude to have also, because we are to grow up. We read about there's a time when we ought to be ready for the meat of the word, and we need the milk of it again. Older men are to teach younger men. Older women are to teach younger women. But we've got to be careful and use the words that we can find in the Bible. If we use the words that we find in the Bible, we aren't going to get in trouble. Another thing that we're going to be judged by is, what did we do with Jesus? What we do with Jesus now determines what he is going to do with us later. In John chapter 3, "He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." What are we going to do with Jesus? So many people today don't want to have anything to do with him, because they would rather live in darkness than in light. But Jesus is going to be the standard of our judgment. Pilate had the same question. He had Jesus on his hands, and he didn't know what to do with him. He knew he had to do something, and so do we. We sing that song about standing in Pilate's hall, and we cannot be neutral. We are either on Jesus' side or we are not. There's no in between. Pilate asked, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And may God help us to do the right thing with him. Of course, the right thing is to obey him. Obey him completely, 100%. I had the radio on the other day and was listening to somebody, and he said, when you become a Christian, you need to understand, it's like making a contract. You make a contract with Christ when you learn what you need to do. You read your Bible every day. Now, when I read my Bible tomorrow and I read something new that I didn't know about, you know what I need to do? I need to obey it. I need to completely obey it, because I made that contract with Christ. I made that covenant. You're Lord of my life. You're King of kings. I submit to you. And Tuesday, when I read my Bible and I read something new, I need to obey it completely, without hesitation, because we're going to be judged by it. Jesus will be your judge. He's the one that's going to be your judge. We already read in Acts 17, 30 to 31, that God will judge the world by Jesus. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. John 5, 22. And when you stop and think about that too, that's part of the reason that Christ came down and lived in the flesh and walked among men. If we stood before God on the day of judgment and said, but God, you just don't understand what I've had to go through. You just don't understand. You can't relate to it. You've been sitting up here in heaven. You can't understand. God would have to say, you're right. I can't understand. But when God, Christ in the became God in the flesh and came to the earth and lived among man, we can't say, Jesus, you can't understand what I went through. What's Jesus going to say? Yes, I can. I can understand exactly. I understand when my family didn't believe in me, when my family turned away from me. I understand when people wanted to kill me, they mocked me. I understand when they ridiculed me, they laughed at me. I understand that. God is going to judge us through Christ, His Son. And we also ought to be thankful for this, because Jesus is going to be a just, righteous, and merciful judge. And we will receive what we deserve. We cannot fool the judge. He knows all about us. John 12 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So notice, in Acts 17, 30, God is going to judge us through a man that he raised from the dead, his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So we put those verses together, we see Jesus is going to be our judge. The standard is going to be the word that Jesus spoke will judge us in the last day. And then we have to ask the question, why do so many people not believe this? They don't believe this. They do not believe that the word of God, the words of Jesus, is going to be what we are going to have to answer to. And it's spelled out so plainly, so clearly in the Bible. Well, what will be the consequences of the judgment? They're going to be eternal in nature. Think what it'll be when we stand at the judgment bar of Christ and receive our eternal sentence. I have to think about that for myself. Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we find, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So Jesus is going to come in flaming fire with his mighty angels. He's going to come in the clouds. And what does that mean, he's going to come in the clouds? We think about the clouds enveloping the whole earth, the whole world. nobody's going to miss the judgment. He's coming back. He's coming back to judge everybody. And when I told you earlier to get that picture in your mind about when he comes back and he's going to be sitting on his throne to judge all nations, well, this is one artist rendition of that. And all I can say is it's going to be a terrifying time. An awful, awe-inspiring time when Jesus is sitting on his throne to judge us. And you think about how many people's in the world today, somewhere between 7 and 8 billion people. I have no idea how many people there are since the beginning of time. You could easily double, triple that number, more than that. And we're all going to be there around the throne of Christ to receive judgment on the judgment day. But we aren't going to get lost in the crowd, because we're going to just say, to pick a number, there's 50 billion people. That would be easy to hide in, right? Nope. Romans 14:11 says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." You see, we're all going to be there, but it's not going to be a group judgment. It's going to be an individual judgment for those things that we have said, for those things that we've done, for what we've done with Jesus. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God. Then there's going to be that separation. This is from Matthew 25:32. "And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." These two animals look similar. One's a goat, one's a sheep. Most people wouldn't know. The one in the front is a goat. The goat's tail goes up, the sheep's tail goes down. But he's going to separate them. That's the shepherds would separate their goats from their sheep. God is going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, the ones that accepted him from the ones that did not accept him. Then the ones will go into everlasting life, and the other into everlasting damnation. And what do we mean by everlasting damnation? Well, when we think about hell, hell is eternal. It's everlasting punishment. It's never ending. It's a place of darkness. Matthew 25:30. You know, sometimes with my eyes, sometimes I think briefly, I don't like to dwell about it, but what if I went blind someday? And to me, that's a scary thought. How scary is it to be blind for time without end, where you cannot see? Hell is a place of fire, everlasting fire. Fire and brimstone, Revelation 20:10. The lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. And it's a fire that's never going to burn up. There's never going to be any relief from it. You can see structures today set on fire, and then the fire burns up, it goes out, and it's over with. This is an everlasting fire. It's a place of pain. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no rest in hell. No rest day or night, Revelation 14:11. There's no relief in hell. They're tormented day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20:10. There's no hope in hell forever and ever, Revelation 20:20. You stop and think about no hope, you know. Things can get desperate, but when you have hope, there's always hope. There's always hope that things can get better. But when we hear those words, "Depart from me," there's no hope. There's no chance of things getting better. And when we think about hell, you know, you think about hell and you think about heaven. In hell, man retains his mental faculties. Luke 16:25, son, remember. And some of these things I don't understand completely. But you know, I hear people say, well, what if I get to heaven and my family isn't there and I'm just going to be so sad and I'm going to be so miserable and this and that. And they make up all kinds of things because they haven't read or understand the Bible. And when we read about God wiping every tear away from us, it's like a father holding a baby, and that baby starts to cry, and that father takes his finger and wipes that tear away. Whatever pain that there is, whatever mental pain that there is, it's not going to be in heaven. I don't know if God will erase our memory or if the joy of being there is going to be so great it's going to overshadow and we aren't even going to think about these other things. But that's what we have to look forward to in the reward of heaven. But in hell, we're going to remember. And I can't guarantee this 100%, but I'll guarantee it 99.9%. People that are in hell are going to remember every time the gospel was extended to them to obey. And they're going to wish, oh, if I just had one more time. Man remains his mental faculties in hell. Hell will be worse for some than others. Luke 16:25, Luke 12:47-48. And hell is a place of divided families. Friends, we're going to die. And after this, the judgment. There's the certainty of it. We're all going to be judged. God's word is going to be the standard. Jesus is going to be our judge. And the consequences are going to be eternal. I appreciate the song that Ryan chose for the invitation. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming, coming by and by when the saints and sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. Bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Friends, we have to ask ourselves. I have to ask myself, am I ready? If I am not ready, I need to do everything I can to make myself ready for that judgment day because it is certain. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.